You are the one. I think most people are annoyed by traffic. Me being blessed to be on a journey of coming to the revelation knowledge of God about life, traffic has a different effect on me these days. Probably comes from starting the year with asking my Father God for a new year revelation, not a new year resolution. What's the difference between the two, you ask? See, it is questions like that that gets me off my main topic and has me digressing. Okay, real quick. A New Year revelation is requesting what God desires for the year, while a New Year resolution is deciding what you desire for the year. Being that many are the plans in a man's heart, but only God's purpose prevails, I would say a New Year revelation is a much better choice. Resolutions usually never seem to really work out. Well, my father answered that request of mine, sending a prophetess, mind you, to confirm his desire for my year of adjusting my focus. It has been nonstop ever since. All right, so I don't mind traffic so much. Even as I was leaving work and my coworker was complaining about traffic, I told him that I saw it differently. That for me, it was a time to reflect. Of course, to be honest, I am also not rushing to get anywhere. So I am sure that also has something to do with it. Well, I got into traffic and began to do just that. Reflect. Started talking to God about the day, expressing my gratitude for all his many blessings, and that even when the hard time comes, that he will always give me the grace to be grateful to him. I also began contemplating the challenges of the day and how bad things could have been without turning to him. How easy it would be for vain imaginations to take hold of my mind and heart. Began contemplating family challenges I'm facing and how I don't have to face any of that alone. He reminded me of the prayers he has been teaching me. I asked the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his fields and remove all of the tares from this and that situation and people. If you did not hear the last post, what is going on with this life? Go check it out. It will explain more. It's only 9 minutes long. So I have been praying that prayer in all the ways the Lord inspires me to pray it, and I find it to be very effective. At one point in my journey in traffic, a thought returned to me that I have been pondering quite often. Every single person on the world has things that they are going through, hard things, with the times they are only seemingly going to get harder. Again, perspective. We're supposed to be expecting a famine in the West at some point, while with all the burning of crops and food shortages, shelves at stores looking a little empty in some areas, while prices for the empty shelves are getting higher. Well, my perspective is that God says in Psalms chapter 33, verses 18 and 19, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." So I just choose to believe God and what I know he has done countless times before. I know he sure kept me and my family alive in a civil war, where there was barely any food. So if he did it before, he can do it again. So everyone has hard things they are going through. And if you are a child of God, meaning you have accepted the free gift that is salvation in Jesus the Christ, by confessing with your mouth and believing that Jesus the Christ is the Son of the living God and Lord of all creation, you are saved. However, even if you are saved, you probably have issues of life. You still have things you are working out, old habits you are struggling to break, addictions, behaviors, etc. You are working out your salvation. You are in this process. And if you listen to the previous post, you will remember that there is an internal struggle between the kingdom of heaven and that of the kingdom of death. Again, go listen to that post if you have not done so yet. I know there is deliverance in that for you. Okay, let me get to this point I have been trying to make. As I was driving, I asked a question of my life, with my thoughts being on these afflictions, trials, and hardships. Jesus, how can this be the life you have chosen for yourself? Of course, this goes to me understanding and seeking to wholeheartedly believe the fact that this life that I call my own is not my life at all, but Jesus' life. That with He choosing to pay with everything He had, the kingdom of heaven, that is, He, Jesus, purchased my wretched life from sin and death and made my life His own by my agreement to accept His salvation. Why would anyone desire to buy someone else's wretched life? Imagine going to a homeless person and saying, "Hey, sir or ma'am, I want to buy your poverty with all my riches so I can live your impoverished life so you don't have to." Why would be the question? The answer is more simple than we have made it out to be. Jesus can live it better than we can, and we get to go along for the ride. However, often kicking and screaming like He kidnapped us, all because we don't want to give up poverty because of those dang tares that the enemy sowed. We end up still convinced that we are only transitioning into this being Jesus' life and not yet fully His. Then kicking and screaming when Jesus is just trying to live His life He paid for. I have grown tired of kicking and screaming though. I am now choosing to come into agreement with Jesus that this is His life. And if He wants something done, He should do it Himself. Like write this blog, for instance. The other day I told Him, if He wants to get on YouTube to sing and play the guitar, He should sure make that happen. This is His life. Lord, have Your way. Even the things I still find myself doing that might be questionable, I asked Jesus, "Why are you doing that? Why are you still allowing this stuff to happen?" See, what I'm doing here is bringing my mind, my imagination, to the place that I am wholeheartedly convinced that this is Jesus' life. No more questions, no more confusion, no more kicking and screaming. I enter into a place of absolute surrender to the Lord about His life. I'm training my mind into my true identity, which is in Christ and only Christ. It is still incredible to me that Jesus was like, "You, I want your life." And I realize that He chose this life for Himself so He could save it. That's just mind-blowing. Listen to this. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 19. That's incredible. We did not choose Him. He chose us. That's the only reason that I was even able to make this one-sided deal to my benefit with God, was because He was already after me. He made a way for me to be able to say yes through His death on the cross and resurrection. Now, every day the mindset of poverty is less and less, and His mindset of prosperity of spirit, soul, and body is more and more. How awesome is that? I posed this question to a brother in Christ who was willing to be vulnerable with me. He said, "You're right. Why would He want that?" I'm kind of in that season of asking, why? This brother then also said, "I feel I can imitate better if I know why God wants what He wants." Jesus' answer from me was this. That's the thing. You are not supposed to imitate unless you still believe you have to follow. That's because you don't get it. Can't follow someone you already are. Come to the understanding that you are the one. Jesus is right. One of the things I have been learning is about discipleship, or in Hebrew, being a Talmid of a rabbi. Rabbi Jesus, that is. A Talmid is not just seeking to follow. A Talmid seeks to become the rabbi. That's what Jesus desires, that we don't just follow him all this life, but that we come to the place that we realize that we are the rabbi. You're not us, but Jesus in us. Jesus also shared with this brother, God already has what he wants from this life. He has the life. Thinking you don't know what he wants and believing you still have to figure it out is a stumbling block. Try accepting God has what he desires out of your life that is not your life, and see what happens. In order for two to walk, they must agree. By the way, God calls everyone who walks with him perfect. Do you believe that? As I continued dialoguing with this brother, a revelation about the movie The Matrix came to me. I really enjoy that movie and the many correlations it tried to have with Christianity. Most movies do, but there is always a demonic twist to it that most people don't catch. If the world of The Matrix was to be anything like ours, every single human had the potential to become the one. But they convinced themselves that there was a single one in a single person. They then convinced that guy that he was the only one until he too believed it. The funny thing is that guy was not more special than the others. Any one of them could have become the one. They just did not have the imagination or proper perspective. And none was willing to die except the guy who was convinced he was the one. I think that is the true demonic premise that was being pushed in that movie. There is only one special person, so people are always looking for that one who will save them, even though he already has and made them just like himself. They think less of themselves. But in fact, we all can break through the wall and programming of this matrix by accepting fully our true identity in Christ. Everyone who accepts Jesus as Lord is a one through the renewing of their mind. The kingdom of God does not come by observation, said Jesus. It is in you. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5 to 10. And you have been made a joint heir with Christ to all of that you just heard.